to episode 18 of It either sounds like you're underwater, yeah, or you're Chewbacca, or you're Chewbacca, yeah,
Chewbacca
underwater.
Underwater with like a some sea cow mixed in, like a manatee kind of thing. I don't know.
Do manatees make noise?
They do now, and it sounds like Chewbacca underwater.
You have now coined the manatee noise.
Yes, that sounds like my Chewbacca impression.
Yes, so here we are, like 10 minutes after the conclusion of episode 17.
We are definitely still enjoying the Iron Throne Blonde Ale because it's quite delicious. Although when I poured mine, I poured literally like 5 inches of head, so I'm waiting for it to dissipate.
Actually, realistically, it was like 2 inches of head, which is a lot.
Like that. That is not too... Yeah, it was like that much.
Okay, that's like three and a half.
Three and a half. Still, nonetheless, it was literally more than half my glass was head.
Yeah, that's a lot. Mm-hmm. That is a lot.
Frothy.
So, obviously everyone, you know, the website, brutalbattle.com, any questions, concerns.
Brutalbattlepodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, you got it.
Mm-hmm.
That being said,
if you thought this was going to be a Star Wars themed episode, you're wrong. I have no idea why I did that as Chewbacca.
Yeah, although, you know, that's interesting. Maybe they should make a Star Wars themed beer.
That would be really interesting. Like on Tatooine?
Tatooine ale? What style would it be if it's Tatooine?
I don't know. Because they have cantinas. Obviously, cantinas are serving something. They got to serve... Those drunken retards dancing gotta be wasted off something. Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
And I know those, what were they called? God, I'm terrible. I don't know shit about Star Wars, honestly.
Yeah, you're terrible. You don't know stuff about Star Wars?
I mean...
Awful.
I'm not a Star Wars nerd, let me put it that way.
Okay, are you Star Trek nerd?
I prefer swords over guns and lightsabers.
Okay.
I want an axe, not some stupid lightsaber or some gun.
The lightsabers are much more powerful, I'm just saying.
Nah.
Actually, over all those things, I want a beer.
Yeah?
I want a beer over all
those. That's true. That's true.
I'm not a fighter.
Mm-hmm.
You're a
drinker.
I wouldn't say I'm a drinker. I would say I'm a beer enjoyer.
Yes.
Maybe.
Dude, I'm a drinker.
Anyway.
I'm trying to get...
Are there any, I know last episode you didn't have any beers queued up that you wanted to talk about, but do you have any at this point? And if not, I can talk about some.
I did have a beer queued up. I talked about my Sam Adams deliciousness.
Oh, yes, that
was aged for 900 years, apparently.
That's just me forgetting. Did you have any others at this point, or I can just go ahead and pop in there?
Let me see here.
Well, then let me start while you think.
Yeah, I don't think so.
All right, just think a little, or maybe this will trigger something. First, I had Palm. Finally had Palm for the first time in my life. Palm, P-A-L-M.
Palm, okay, yes.
And it's got the green label, and Palm's written in red, and it's got a horse on it. It's like a Belgian style. It is like a blonde ale, actually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've had it.
And I believe that's one that's now handled by Anheuser-Busch InBev. But I tried it for the first time. A lot of people talk about it. It's kind of like Stella Artois, but not as talked about, but almost... has talked about after Stella. Not impressed.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really like it. I think I dumped it. I think that was another one I dumped there. So not impressed.
Have I talked about how much I hate the beer selection in New York City because of Stella? Because at your typical bar, you're serving Bud Light, Stella Artois, and Brooklyn Lager. All those beers are terrible.
Yeah. Agreed.
I mean, that's at your typical bar. Now, obviously, they have beer bars. There are great places to drink in New York. Don't get me wrong. Barcade, love it. Good Beer is a cool place. God, if you live in Manhattan, go to Good Beer. It's so awesome. It's a huge beer emporium, but you can buy and drink right there on premises. It's amazing.
Cool.
Actually, no. Scratch that. You cannot buy and drink, but they have taps there. That's right. And they do samplers, too.
And at Barcade, they have, like, old-school video games.
Oh,
like
Like Rampage. I played the crap out of that game.
Awesome.
I have a picture of my high score. I got, like, 586,000 or something like that.
I feel like if there were more establishments like that, they would be pretty successful.
Yeah. The other thing is, I've noticed that the bunch of times I've been to Barcade, that people just beat the crap out of the machines. So like the buttons don't work, they don't respond. Sometimes your quarters don't register. You got to pump it with quarters, like that stuff. That's unfortunate because obviously people get drunk and they start acting like a dumbass, and that's what happens. It's a bummer.
Yeah, I could see that being a big problem. But actually, another beer I wanted to talk about that I just had recently is called Ticket to Rye. Like Ticket to Ride, but Rye, R-Y-E. I'm doing my spelling thing again. But it's by Magic Hat. It's like it's a rye IPA. Not the best rye beer I've had, but not a bad rye beer either. It was pretty decent. I would say if people are typically like Magic Hat faithfuls, definitely try it out. You're not a big Magic Hat guy? Yeah. Have you had anything by Magic Hat that you like? Blind Faith IPA?
Because
I left one of those at your house last week.
I don't know. Honestly, that opinion may be a little... like, it's not really based on a solid foundation of trying some of their selection. I mean, obviously, I think 9 is seriously overrated. I think Magic Hat number 9 is terrible.
I think... Okay. Let me tell you what I think about why 9 is so hyped up.
Yeah, I'd be interested.
And this may actually fit into other beers like Stella and stuff like that. I think it's a gateway beer.
It is. Like Fat Tire. People rave about Fat Tire.
Right. Eh. I think it's a gateway beer to better beer. And because it's enough flavor that you're like, oh man, this is like a decent microbrew. But it's not too much flavor where someone just trying micros for the first time can't handle it.
Yeah.
And also, I think with
oh, God, there's flavor in this beer.
Oh, holy crap, there's flavor. Take this away. Yeah. Excuse me,
miss. Miss, come here. I didn't order this beer. This has flavor. Mm-mm-mm. Nope.
Give me something with a punch top.
I would like a refund. Yeah, I need another. Yeah. And the wide mouth thing and the cold mountains and all the other dumb crap.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean... Do you think that's valid? I really think it's because it's like a gateway beer.
Yes.
And then...
Yeah.
Even when people move past it, they kind of still have that nostalgic feeling about the beer that kind of introduced them to everything. Like, you know, I'll admit, there are certain beers that kind of were like my gateway that I always think fondly of. Like Old Brown Dog by Smutty Nose.
Yeah.
You know, we had it on the podcast, and I didn't rate it all that high. And that's because I've really moved past it. Prior to that experience, did I think it was better? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But that's because I remember it for a long time. Tastes are always changing.
I mean, I've said this before. I grew up on Sky Blue and like Mike's Hard Lemonade and all. Bacardi Silver. Like, I was seriously enjoying these things at one point in my life. So don't think my S doesn't stink because I've been drinking craft beer all my life.
Right.
No way. I mean, Hell, I was in Italy drinking pina coladas when I was 17. And I thought that was just the best thing in the world. I mean, trust me. I don't think it's pina coladas, but you know what I'm saying.
Well, and it's, you know, it brings something else up about the changes with your palate. And that's that kind of naturally, as you age, your palate just changes.
Yes.
You know, it's not necessarily from trying different flavors, but...
And people who don't think that's true, you are wrong. Because it is very true.
And Kyle will fight you.
I will fight you. Give me your name. Email us. BrutalBattlePodcast@gmail.com with your name and address, and I will come fight you if you think your palate doesn't change over time, because it most certainly does. Mine has done a complete 180, I know for...
Prime example, I mean, not in the beer realm, because we all know that, you know, we've already talked about, you know, your palate changing in the beer realm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a prime example for me is... When I was young, I hated vegetables. And I think that's true for a lot of kids, obviously.
Yep.
And as I've gotten older, I like vegetables a lot more. I mean, I find myself loving to just have straight up steamed broccoli, asparagus, green beans. You know, and obviously hated it when I was young, but...
Brussels sprouts. I never knew how good a Brussels sprout could taste until I cooked it myself.
I still can't do Brussels sprouts.
Oh, they're so sweet. You don't steam them. You don't boil them. You saute them in the pan. They get all crispy and sweet. And oh,
there's just something about
so
it.
So good.
I can't.
God, one of my favorite green vegetables. My mom just. Wow, that's a big pour.
Oh, my Rebecca just brought down the beer and it.
My mom boiled the hell out of them when we were young, and they were like mushy and bitter and disgusting. And I literally, true story, I grew up on milk. I was a big milk drinker when I was little. I was fat. I was huge, very, very obese when I was young. She used to obviously make me eat my Brussels sprouts. So I would take a bite and chug milk, and then take another bite and chug milk. It made me gag, and I threw up like a tidal wave of chewed up Brussels sprouts and milk all over the kitchen table. Just, bleh. And I remember just coming out of me like a tsunami. Just, bleh.
Wow.
So, and like oysters, oh my God, I all of a sudden love raw oysters.
Really?
If you get a good one, they Gross. Are amazing. Yeah. They're so good.
That's still not for me.
There yeah, are bad raw that. Oysters, don't get me wrong. They taste disgusting, but a good one... Nice and clean and salty and briny. Just a little mignonette on there. Mm. A little bit of shallots.
Okay.
Red wine vinegar.
Well, good to know.
All right. Maybe I'm going... I'm revealing myself as a food enthusiast a little bit.
Yes.
I should stop.
So.
All right.
Well, real quick, I wanted to hit on a news story, which I thought was pretty cool. In Alabama, their house is passing a brewing bill that will only apply to wet counties. So, just to give you the backstory, Alabama, up until, well, looks like probably soon, it's still illegal to homebrew.
Hmm.
And there
is that the whole moonshine thing? Is that Alabama?
Yeah.
Or is that...
Or what do you mean, like...
The whole underground moonshiners illegal kind of thing. The moonshiners.
Well, I think that happens.
The reality show and all that.
No, not the reality show.
No,
no.
I don't
the moonshiners reality show. But I'm sure there's moonshine that goes on in Alabama.
Okay.
But it's been in place for a long time, and you know, it's still illegal there. Mm-hmm. Which
that's interesting.
By
the
way,
I didn't know it was illegal anywhere.
Well, Mississippi just recently, within the past year, it was illegal there as well, and they just finally legalized it.
Hmm. Good for them.
So, you know. A little backwards, but, you know, mm-hmm. progress
yeah,
is good.
Whatever.
But do you want to guess what the, I mean, currently, because it's still illegal in Alabama, what would happen to you potentially if you were found to be homebrewing in Alabama?
I'm
going to
guess $5,000 fine and up to 2 years in prison.
All right.
Well, and you, or, maybe. One
you
or
basically,
other.
Like, doubled both things. No. It's like a $2,000 fine and up to a year in jail. But still, I mean, you think about it, for homebrewing. Like, homebrewing
yeah.
is something that so many people do now
mm-hmm.
in the United States. It's just crazy.
At least I was consistent with my guess. I doubled both. So, I was. Yeah.
So the whole point of the story is, it wasn't a very lengthy story, but basically that Alabama now has a bill in the House, which is about to pass, saying that you can... homebrew in wet counties, which leads me to the second portion of this to let everyone know that, yes, in Alabama, there are totally dry counties where not only can you not homebrew, but they don't serve alcohol anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to go somewhere else to get
dry
your
counties
alcohol.
Should not exist anymore.
I mean, right.
Period.
Because
it's so stupid. It's tied to some... law that was passed like 200 years ago.
Yep.
I mean, it's just, it's ridiculous. Old laws, they just need to clean house and get rid of these stupid laws.
Well, and it looks like, you know.
Yeah,
they're working
surely,
on it.
I guess. Yeah, they probably have bigger fish to fry in the long
right.
run. But still, you know, these laws, they shouldn't be punishable. Okay, they're old, they're still in the books, yes, but they shouldn't be punishable.
Right, right.
Which is to say, how much is this really enforced? You know?
That, well, yeah. That,
well, obviously
that is
the dry, wet thing is enforced, but I'm saying like,
but yeah,
like
the homebrewing thing. And that's a good question because it may, in actuality, not really be enforced at all. There may be
yeah.
situations where people are found to be homebrewing and they're just kind of like, all right, just stop, knock it off, and they walk away, you
yep.
know?
Who knows?
So, you never know.
It's weird.
But, okay, I did have one other story that I wanted to bring up this episode.
God, not another one.
Oh, but this is interesting. So you know how I talked about how Goose Island had... been purchased by Anheuser-Busch InBev some time ago.
Yep.
So, two more employees. Apparently, there's been a lot of employees leaving because they're not enjoying what Anheuser-Busch InBev is doing.
Mm-hmm.
They're starting to kind of affect things with Goose Island. So, some employees have been leaving, and just recently, two employees left, and they're planning on starting a new brewery.
Hmm.
They're going to
Duck
start...
Duck Island.
No, not Duck Island, that'd be funny. The brewery's going to be in Geneva, Illinois, and it's going to be called Penrose Brewing.
Penrose. Okay.
And they're going to focus on Belgian-inspired beers.
Oh, Jesus.
Now, the interesting thing about that is that's pretty much direct competition with Goose Island.
Of course, yeah.
So, what I kind of read into this is disgruntled former employees, you know?
Maybe.
Kind of like, you know, we don't like the way this has gone, and not only are we going to go and do our own thing, but we're going to try and hit you in the wallet if we can.
If they can.
So...
Goose Island's a pretty big establishment, though, so they need
huge.
They need to step up their game, I would say. Brew on a pretty vast scale to make them notice a difference.
But honestly, if they're, you know, if they're Belgian, making all Belgian-inspired beers, and they're, you know, in Illinois, which is where...
Goose Island
is from.
Yeah.
I would kind of say that every single beer that Penrose Brewing would sell is basically potentially a beer that Goose Island could have sold instead.
Mm-hmm. Because they're former Goose Island employees.
Well, because of that, and also just because of the styles,
will
be very similar.
Mm-hmm.
So,
it's going to be interesting. A little fight it out in Illinois for the next couple of years, see how it goes.
Oh, and another thing. I know I had told you, Kyle, about this a little bit, but for the listeners who may not know, to tie in with that whole thing with Goose Island, apparently Anheuser-Busch InBev is still interested in buying microbreweries. So they had some months ago approached Lagunitas. Did you say Lagunitas?
Lagunitas.
Lagunitas, that's right. I always get confused between, I used to say Lagunitas, and I'm trying to change it because everyone else says Lagunitas. So apparently Anheuser-Busch InBev had approached Lagunitas and said, "Oh, we would like to buy you," to which Lagunitas said, "Big middle finger in your face."
Huge middle finger.
Absolutely not. So
much respect.
At that point, not only did they say no, but they were very offended, apparently, and very upset about the fact that Anheuser-Busch is actively trying to take over good breweries. So there's kind of a... They called off a truce that there's basically been in the microbrew community, which basically says, don't poach brewers from one another. So Lagunitas on the back of this happening.
They called off the truce?
Yeah, basically. They started encouraging microbreweries to take brewers from Goose Island.
Or from microbreweries owned by...
Anheuser-Busch InBev. Yeah. Yes, basically. Saying, well, guess what? Now it's open season, and now we're going to try and do what we can to take your brewers away from you. So
that's good.
And, you know, I had talked to some people about that whole thing, and a lot of people were like, yeah, but at the same time, you know, that's going to kind of hurt for a little bit for Anheuser-Busch, but I'm sure there are a lot of people out there who are just looking for the opportunity to brew for an established brewery and have skills, so it may not really affect them all
that
much.
It's not like they're doing anything innovative either. I mean, all the recipes and techniques are all established. You just need to... I mean, obviously, it takes skill. The person needs to know what they're doing, but on the same point, it's not like they're bringing a whole new... They're not coming in to, like, an unestablished process or anything.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, that's basically all I wanted to say about that. Just some interesting stories.
Your common man won't know if the brewer changed when he's drinking his Busch or his whatever, you know.
Yes.
They won't know.
Or their Bud Light Platinum.
Or, yeah, whatever
else. Bud Platinum. Okay, well, these beers are in front of us currently. Would you like to get into them? I would.
Bud Platinum would be a perfect beer for your wife to get us once.
Absolutely not.
That would be hilarious. No, that would be really funny.
I mean, she's free to do that.
I haven't had it, so I wouldn't even know what it tastes like.
That's true. She has joked about that kind of stuff before. She should. Like, oh, I forgot to get the Bud Light. And I say to it, I would hate that, but it's your prerogative, and if you do that, that's fine.
It's up to her.
Because a beer's a beer, and it would fit into the show. No problem. All right, well, what do you see on beer A here?
Cloudy. Hazy. Yes. Very cloudy. Can't see through it whatsoever. Smells ripe of double IPA action. Sweet, sweet double IPA action.
Yeah, it does.
I can tell.
Nailed it.
If it tastes like it smells... Daddy's in Pleasure Town.
Yeah, this should be good.
Very
but
foamy head. Tons of lacing. I mean, this lacing hasn't gone down since we've been sitting here.
This definitely indicates to me higher alcohol volume. I'm thinking this
is a Lagunitas. This is probably like little something something.
You think so?
I haven't tasted it.
It does. I get a wealth of hops off it.
Oh yeah.
And they're nice. They're nice.
Mmm.
That's good. It's good. Right.
It's just got all your sweet, citrusy sweetness. I mean, it's got hops out the yin yang.
It looks and certainly does look and smell like a double IPA.
Oh yeah.
Or in some instances, people are doing the double pale ales instead of IPAs, but they're pretty close usually. Mm-hmm. You want to give it a taste?
I do indeed, sir. So, wow. Nope. Not Lagunitas. Ooh, man, that's disappointing. Such a thin body.
Mm-hmm.
Very thin. I was expecting like some substance, even a little bit of like...
Well, it's got...
Even to be sticky a little bit.
It's got a tad bit of the syrupiness. It's just not as much as you would expect, especially not from the lacing that you see on the glass. You'd think
it would have a much more substantial mouthfeel to it.
Mm. What kind of flavors are you getting out of that? I'm definitely getting the hops, but the hops are like, they're kind of like middle of the road type hops. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like they're not like real hoppy.
I don't know. I can't really put my finger on any one thing I'm getting from this. I do like it just because it's.
I get a little oranginess.
Yeah.
It's a little orangey to me. But not like an orangey like citrus hops orangey. It's more of like a. Kind of orange rind-ish.
Yes.
But not quite that bitter.
Yes, there are some things going on with the astringent bitterness that are kind of off-putting. It's got a bit too much bitterness for me.
I'm going to be interested to see what the alcohol volume on this is, because if it's significant, I will say that they did a pretty decent job of masking it.
I would agree. Because I'm thinking 7, but I'm also thinking 9. So if it's... I'm thinking 9, they masked it well. 7 is what kind of what it tastes like. Yeah. So
if it's anything above a 7, then bravo to them for masking it well. You know, I don't hate this.
No, I don't hate it.
Mm-mm. It's okay.
Yeah, it's not bad.
It's not blowing my hair back or anything, but...
It took me a couple sips to kind of get used to it, because it is a double IPA, and we've had a fairly neutral palate since we've been drinking the Iron Throne Blonde, which is, you know, we've been pretty neutral.
Honestly, the more I sip this, the more I kind of like it.
Yeah, me honestly. Too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But flavors, I'm really struggling to put my foot on any one thing.
Takes a little getting used to.
Pinpoint something. Yeah, that's not bad.
That's
not bad at all.
All right, well, let's leave that for now. Let's hop on over to B.
I'm going to have a hard time rating A, honestly.
I was... struggling in my head, and I think I figured out what I want to do for that. So.
All right. B. Stout or porter.
Yeah, stout or porter. Pretty basic. Black. It is, yeah, cannot see through it.
0% light penetration. Not even on the edges, so super dark.
But the head isn't really dark. I mean, it's like a tan head. It's not like real brown.
Yeah. No head. Lacing, a little bit. Not really. I mean, that's... standard for a stout, you know.
Yeah.
It's not the frothy head. It's more of a loose head. Oh, man, it smells good. Oh.
This smells oatmeal-y. Smells oatmeal-y.
Yes, it does. Oatmeal, molasses.
Milky.
Milky, yep. This really reminds me of the 72 a little bit.
This kind of reminds me of, actually, the Terrapin Moohoo Stout.
Okay. Milk, yeah.
Which is like a milk
stout. I'm thinking, I don't really pick up too much of the oatmeal, but the milk, definitely.
Well, and there is a little chocolatiness to the scent as well.
Oh, yeah.
It's big pleasant.
Time. Big time dairy.
This has a pleasant aroma.
Are you getting a little bit of sour? I'm getting a little bit of a sour note.
Yeah, I get a little sour note, but...
It comes with the dairy, kind of like...
And a lot of times.
It's like borderline... I'm thinking spoiled, but... Not unpleasant. It's got like a little bit of that twang, a little bit of that.
Yeah, you get that a lot with milk stouts.
I'm trying to remember what the name of that is.
So I'm going to assume this is probably a milk stout, but it might, you know, it might also be like milk chocolate stout, which is what the Moohoo is. It's a milk chocolate stout.
Yeah, I can see this being a milk chocolate stout. Yep.
Let's have that milk chocolatiness.
It's all right. Bottoms up, sir.
Oh! We barely ever do that.
Opa.
Mm. It is.
Creamy in the mouth.
Mm-hmm. we just looked at each other.
Yeah, we just stopped. Uh-huh. Creamy in the mouth. That's what she said.
Mm.
A little thinner body than I expected. I expect to be a little bit more substance, but not necessarily a bad thing.
I also expected a little more of kind of a lactic mouthfeel, lactic flavor.
That's what I was going for. Lactic, yes. That's the word I couldn't think of.
I still get a bit of that.
I'm getting a little
bit. But it's not a lot.
Like a little tobacco on the end now.
Hmm.
A little bit.
Yeah, I could see that.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of weird, but... Mm. On the aftertaste, I get a little bit of a flavor kind of like fresh peas. Like freshly picked peas. Which is kind of weird.
Wow, that is interesting.
I was saying it's weird. It's weird.
It is weird, but I see where you're coming from. Yes. Yes. I get like almost... The more I think about it, the chocolate is almost a synthetic kind of chocolate.
Yes.
It's reminding me of the chocolate you get on like the maraschino cherry, like the chocolate-covered cherry kind of chocolate. Like that kind of chocolate.
Yeah, I can see that. And actually, maybe that's where a little bit of what I was going to say next is coming from. Feel like it's got a bit of a minerally finish to it.
Hmm. Interesting, yeah.
It's got kind of a mineral finish. Like a little bit like some rocks.
One time, when I was young, I was riding my bike and went face, like literally, head first over the handlebars, face first into the ground, into the asphalt. And this is what it tasted like. Mm-hmm. Gravel. God, that was terrible. I remember my mom picking rocks out of my lips with tweezers. Ooh.
I do still think that's probably some sort of milk stout.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm actually struggling rating both of these beers.
Yeah,
I think I've got a number for A. B? I like B. I'm not blown away by B, but I do like it.
I would continue to drink both these beers.
Yes. So would I.
A, when we weren't totally huge on A, but I keep taking more sips of it, and I keep liking it more and more.
God, I feel like I want to give them... I think for me, they're both going to be middle-of-the-road ratings on the scale of 1 to 10. But I'm struggling which number exactly.
I had something in my mind at first, and then kind of rethinking things now.
Yeah. We're going back and forth. We're double-fisting, friends, because that's what all good beer drinkers do.
Yes. Mm. Okay. Yeah. I know. I know. After those last two sips from each of them, I know where I need to go on this. You ready to go on A?
Mm.
I'll go first on A.
You go, yeah.
A, I'm going to give a 5.
Yep. 5 as well.
Oh, 5 as well, A. Mm-hmm. So obviously that's a 5. That's respectable.
That is good. That's good.
And B, I'm going to go a 4.
Oh, I went the other direction. I went a 6.
You want a 6?
Yeah.
So that's a 5 as well. So both these beers
are five.
Got 5s for the episode, so that's pretty cool.
Interesting how that worked out.
I mean, they're close.
Yeah.
They're close in satisfaction.
For different, very different reasons. But I don't think you can even compare a double IPA and a milk stout. But
no. Yeah. And I'd be interested to see if we're actually right about these styles.
Double IPA and milk stout. Well, let's find out, sir.
Oh, shall we?
Oh, terrific. Just terrific.
Okay. So both of them were 5. So
yep.
I'll just
fiver
go
and a fiver.
I'll just go A B.
Have we had it? We've had ties. Have we had ties? We've had a tie.
Yeah, we've had ties before.
Yeah, we've had a tie.
But we haven't yet had it. I was actually just thinking about this at work today. We haven't yet had a tie for the Master Broverlord, which I'm excited whenever we do, because if you remember...
Now we have a taste-off.
Yes, we have a taste-off. And that would be so awesome.
That would be awesome.
So I'm waiting for that. But anyway, Beer A, the one that we believe to be a double IPA with a rating of 5, is... Mikkeller, if you're familiar with Mikkeller,
from the
Netherlands.
Yes, Mikkeller does Guldendrak. No.
No, they don't.
No, they don't. McKellar does Beer Geek Breakfast.
Yes, they do that.
Which is great.
I've had some of their other stuff. You being a whiskey person, have you had their McCallum?
No. I'm intrigued.
They have a stout that's aged in McCallum barrels.
Oh.
Hmm. Very strong whiskey.
That sounds interesting.
I think you'd like that. You should check it out. But this McKellar beer is called Nugget.
Wow. That's one I've never even heard of.
Let me see if I can discern a style on it.
That is a very hard label to read. It just looks purple.
It is a single hop IPA.
Single hop.
It is not a double.
That is a ballsy IPA right there.
And it's a 6.8% ABV. We had said if it's like 7, that's what it tastes like.
Yeah. Yep.
So they hit the mark.
Yep.
So that's good. I mean, McKellar, good job.
But this, and for an IPA offering, ballsy, impressive, and they really went for it, I think.
Yeah.
It's got a lot of substance for an IPA.
I will tell you this, before we started doing this show, as in our very first episode, there was a time when I got 3 different McKellar beers. They were all single hop IPAs, and they were done with different hops. And I believe one was Warrior, one was Simcoe, and I think one was Cascade. And I got them, and I poured them all at once, and put them in a line, and then just went down the row just tasting them.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's kind of what gave me the part of the inspiration to do this.
Maybe.
But anyway, good.
Mm-hmm.
That's decent. McKellar. I'll finish that.
I am pro McKellar, so well done, guys.
And then here we go. B, also with a 5, what we believe to be some sort of milk stout.
You said Terrapin Moo Moo. I have no guess.
Well, I feel that it's a 22-ounce, so it's definitely not the Moo Hoo stout.
Oh.
Because that's not in 22s. But here it is. It is. It is the Macchiato Milk Stout
by
Duclaw.
I just talked poop about that beer.
Did you?
Yeah.
And now you like it.
Well, I had it. I had it. I was there St. Patty's Day, and I had it, and I was like, not crazy about it. I tasted it, and I was not crazy about it. Huh.
I usually like this beer more than 5. I will say that much, so I'm a little bit embarrassed. I usually probably put this more around the 8 value. But it's by Duclaw Brewing. It's a Macchiato Milk Stout. It's their Exile 4.
It's funny, because I didn't like it before, and now I like it. You loved it before, and now you gave it you gave it a 4.
Yes, I did. Mm. I gave it a 4, so that's probably like a 4-point swing, honestly. Yep.
Ouch.
A little embarrassing. And the alcohol by volume is only 0.5 lower than the McKellar, which is interesting.
So it's 6.2,
3? 6.3. Hmm. So I feel like the alcohol content on A seems like more than B.
Well, I don't know.
Well,
actually, they both kind of, alcohol-wise, they both seem kind of pretty equal.
But hey, we weren't far off with A being a double IPA. It's a single IPA. It's still an IPA. And we were right on with a milk stout for B.
I think the ironic thing is...
Didn't I say that I got a little bit of coffee? Or maybe I didn't say.
You said
I chocolate. Thought it to myself.
You said chocolate.
Dang it.
I don't remember. But I am drinking the Duclaw out of a Duclaw pint glass. It's an Old Flame 2010 pint glass.
And I'm actually drinking my McKellar out of a Duclaw pint glass, which is for their Naked Fish, which I love.
You have lots of beer pint glasses.
Yes.
Many more than I will ever have.
But anyway,
this was a good episode for beer. They were both respectable offerings, I think.
So we have the Macchiato Milk Stout, we have the Nugget, and we still have some of the Iron Throne Ale from Omegang. So I'm just going to burn through these 3 beers.
I just want to reiterate that literally I had this Macchiato Milk Stout St. Patty's Day. What was that? 2-3 weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't care for it. It just goes to, I reinforce this as much as I can. State of palate is so important when you are drinking beer.
Agreed.
Then I had a little sampler, and I was just like, nah, maybe it was the temperature they served that. Maybe it was what I had eaten, if I had what kind of beer I was looking for at the time. Who knows? But now, it's pretty damn good. So
it is what it is. Well, awesome. 5s for both of these beers. Obviously, they will not dethrone Racer 5 IPA by Bear Republic out of California, the Master Overlord, yes. That being said, thank you everyone for listening. Thank you, a very special thank you to Rebecca for providing us with the beers every episode, especially this episode, which was a joy to taste. Yes,
a joyous, I think it's hilarious that fives are a joy. Average yeah. is a joy when it comes to us, because we're cynical old bastards.
Yeah, and by this point, our listeners know that, and they expect this kind of thing.
Yes, they do.
So they'll hear, like, a five and be like, oh, man, a five, I gotta go out and get one of those.
Yeah, they gave it a five? Golly, must be great.
And that being said, everybody, run out, see if you can find yourself a Macchiato Milk Stout, see if you can find yourself a Nugget by Mikkeller, and thank you so much for tuning in. We love you.
Bye-bye.
This has been a Nerd Circle podcast production.